Advent is a time of great preparation for our celebration of Christmas. Preparation for something that happened in history that brings us great joy, that God became man, that he became flesh, that he became incarnate, becoming like us in all things but sin. And sure, Advent is a time of preparation, just as we may prepare our house and our shopping lists for everything that will happen during the Christmas season. But the word Advent really recalls the coming of Christ. His coming, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, first in time, in his birth at Bethlehem, but secondly, his coming amongst us. His coming throughout history in the presence of the church, the sacraments, and the way that we care for others. And then finally, a time of preparation for his final coming in glory, much of what Jesus speaks about in today's gospel. And those three comings may seem very different to us, right? Very disparate. One happened a long time ago before any of us were even born or thought of. Happened in a place far away that's much different than Wichita, Kansas in the year 2021. And yet we believe that it happened, that God became man, and we rejoice at that coming. And similarly, even today, when God comes among us, whether it's in the sacraments or in the people around us, it seems that it can almost happen without our cooperation, that it can happen whether we're ready for it or not. It can be happening if we're looking closely for the coming and presence of Christ, or if we're distracted by things in the world, that he still seems to act and be present among us. So that might give us some fear that this second coming in glory is something that will catch us off guard, that we just need to be watching and looking for the signs of the times and kind of be very anxious and fearful of when that might come. But I don't think that's really the spirit of Advent, that we need to be on guard, that we need to be protecting ourselves throughout the season of Advent for the coming of Christ. Instead, if we're led by the theological virtues, Advent becomes a time of great hope. A time that leads us in becoming more like Christ. So that when he does come again in glory, it's not something to be feared, but something to rejoice in, that we're become perfectly united back to the Father. So how exactly do we do that during the season of Advent? How do we prepare ourselves for his second coming and recognize him here among us? I actually think that's the purpose of the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. That those three virtues are called theological because, unlike all the other virtues that are good human practices, right, patience, maybe kindness and gentleness, right, all those are good virtues that we can work on our own. But the theological virtues originate from God as a gift to us. That he's the first one that initiates the first stirrings of faith in our heart. To put faith and trust in him, even though he is invisible, based on the things he's done in the world. That he propels us to hope and first pours out his love for us so that we can love others generously. But then the ultimate goal of that gift, of that virtue, is that we can actually be more like him. That by living in this world, we as Christians don't believe we'll be treated differently necessarily, that we'll be richer or poorer than our neighbors, that we'll have more success or less success. But instead that by living by faith, hope, and charity, we start to encounter and react to those things differently. I would say we start to react to them in a way that God would react to them. So that we start to see his presence everywhere in our lives, and we're vigilantly looking for him, anticipating his coming in glory. But to do that, we really have to understand the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. I think sometimes we hear them and we assume that they're all just things that we already do. Sure, Father, I have faith and trust in God and Jesus and the church and things. And it sounds very abstract. But the virtue of faith is meant to be rooted in history. Not just a leap of faith to trust that God will do something good and will make things better. Instead, it's to say, let me see how God has already acted in the world. Let me see how he's already acted in my life. And so then I can have faith and trust that he can do a similar thing right now. That faith is ultimately founded first in the coming of Christ at Christmas. That he didn't leave the world to fix everything on his own, putting that weight upon human beings to fix and right the wrong of sin. Instead, he said, no, I will enter into that with you. I will not only teach you the way, but I'll actually take the weight of that upon myself on the cross. That I will buy you back from the clutches of sin and death. Brothers and sisters, that's what first century Jews would hear when they hear the word redemption. Sometimes we just hear it as a synonym for salvation and something good that God did for us. Redemption in the first century meant buying back a slave. Buying back someone that couldn't help themselves but had a price on their head. That somebody else would come in and say that I will pay the price for them. And they saw throughout history, especially when Moses led the people out of slavery in Egypt, that God would always redeem his people. He would always step in and intervene when they needed to be bought back out of a situation they couldn't fix themselves. So Jesus, in becoming man and ultimately bearing the weight of our sins on the cross, he himself buys us back for the kingdom of God. Purchases us by the price of his blood out of love. So we too have great faith and trust that God can do a similar thing for us today. Maybe not exactly the same way, but that he wants to enter into our struggles. He wants to enter into our sinfulness or our temptations so that he can buy us back, so that he can lead us to that great trust and confidence in our Heavenly Father. Because that's the only way that Christ himself could bear the weight of the cross, was trusting that God the Father was with him. That's exactly what the prophet Jeremiah is seeking to do in our first reading today. That he wants to let the people know that there's a day coming where things will be different. Where, yes, God will send someone to save them and redeem them. But he first wants to remind them of the promise that God made. He wants to hearken them back to the days of Israel and Judah when God had formed his house and his kingdom. He wants to remind them of the promise he made to David and Abraham and all their ancestors in the faith. And I think Jeremiah is saying, yes, the Lord will send a shoot from the stump of David. But that's only because we only have faith in that because we see what God has done already. The way he's redeemed us and been with us as a people. So as we walk through the season of Advent, we ourselves grow in that gift of faith when we too look at our lives. When we see how God has been present, and we trust that he can be present in a similar way today. That he'll provide for us with his love and his grace. But that faith then leads us to the virtue of hope. Similarly, hope is not just crossing our fingers and saying, well, I hope that God will make something good out of this mess. I hope God will make things better tomorrow or next week. And I'll just wait around till he does that. Instead, our hope is saying, Lord, just as I know that you've provided for me and your people in the past, just as I've seen your love for me in various ways, I can have actually confidence and hope that you'll do something right now. Maybe you won't snap your fingers and fix whatever I'm going through, but that I can hope that whatever I'm going through will lead me back to you, will lead me ultimately to the union of heaven. In many ways, that's what the responsorial psalm is inviting us to do. When it says, to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. That hope is intended to take these earthy things that tend to drag us down and to say, Lord, actually help them to be things that lead me to you. That even these simple earthly daily things can be ways that I am led to the heavenly kingdom. Can be ways that in hope, I become more like God himself. I think that's what every Advent is meant to help us to do, that in looking forward, we can do so with great confidence in God's grace and his love. And then once we have started to live those virtues of faith and hope, then we start to live out a true sense of charity and love. That we see in our neighbors and in our family so many opportunities to be like God to them, to be generous in our love and service in our daily lives. To seek out moments to share forgiveness and generosity, even if those don't seem to be reciprocated. That we start to see each moment as a way to bring about the coming of Christ. Not just for someone else to do, but that I can actively make that happen in my life. I think that's what Paul was encouraging the Thessalonians to do in the second reading. Right, when he says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so that you can be blameless in holiness before God our Father. That he exhorts them to continue to do that because since the first time that Paul had been there and preached to them, that's what they had started to do. They'd started to live differently than the people around them and to start to live in the charity and love of Christ. So that even if they encountered the exact same thing as their neighbors in Thessalonica, they as Christians started to look and live differently. Brothers and sisters, I think if we do that, if we enter into that spirit of faith, trusting that what God has done for us already, he'll continue to do today. Then when we look forward in hope and expectation of the great things that God can do and generously pour ourselves out in love, then the season of Advent doesn't just become about looking past to the past, to the birth of Christ. It doesn't just become about looking and forward vigilantly to the coming of Christ in glory. But instead it starts to change today. Changes our present into a moment where Christ can enter into and change our hearts and our lives. That led by those three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, our life on earth will become more like that of heaven. That we'll respond not just as we humans would, but we'll respond to each and every moment in a way that God will. So let us pray that the beginning of this Advent season will be just that for us. Will be an opportunity to grow in faith, hope, and charity. And that as we grow in those virtues, we'll start to recognize and in fact look for the coming of Christ, eagerly awaiting the good news and the fulfillment of the promises he made to us.